What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
Talk to Chuck.
Talking Sox.
Talk to Chuck.
With White Sox pre- and post-game host Chuck Garfine.
Talk to Chuck.
White Sox talk.
Talk to Chuck.
With Chuck.
Talk to Chuck.
Chuck Garfine.
Talk to Chuck.
Chuck Garfine joins Waddle and Sylvie.
Talk to Chuck.
To break down the Southsiders.
Talk to Chuck.
Every Wednesday.
Talk to Chuck.
On ESPN Chicago.
Talk to Chuck.
Love it. Well done, Mallard. Some Bruce for him too. Do you think he's thrilled with that one?
I laughed.
Yeah?
Yeah, I laughed.
Let's bring him in right now, NBC Sports
Talk
Chicago. He's our White Sox guy. Every Wednesday right here on the Waddle and Sylvie Show, you hear him as well on Carmen and Yurko and Cap and Company. You like the open?
I love the open. You begin with Born to Run. Talk to Chuck. The horns of Clarence Clemens, and I'm talking White Sox baseball.
Woo!
I'm living the dream right here in Chicagoland.
Hey, with that in mind, Chuck, can I ask you a procedural question first?
Sure.
I'm not looking to get anyone in trouble or anything, but based on the – was Ricky Renteria at the ballpark today?
He is on his way back through the MLB protocols to manage the White Sox. Away for a funeral, and he is back, I believe, in Chicago. But there are steps that need to be taken to get from out of the state back into the bubble and safe. So I think that he's kind of like in the middle ground right now. But everything is fine, and
right.
He will be he'll be with the man. We don't know when he's going to be back officially as a manager in the dugout, but I'm assuming sometime soon.
Well, the reason I ask is, wasn't he in California?
He was.
Then I thought, like, if you were coming from California back to Chicago, it was a minimum,
right.
What, 14-day quarantine?
Yeah, so there are some, again, I don't have the legal background or even the, not even the background. There are some protocols associated with Major League Baseball that I'm really not an authority to talk about this,
right.
Because I don't know all the specifics, but there is something in... with travel, with certain businesses, essential businesses that will allow Ricky Renteria to get back and manage here in a certain situation because he's being tested. I don't know enough
about
it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like it's not David Kaplan going to California,
right.
Coming back to Illinois, and now you can just walk around the streets of Chicago. This is a little different, and there's much more safety protocols going on with the White Sox than David Kaplan, average Joe Chicagoan.
But Cap's all in. Cap's all in.
All in with the White Sox?
He's all in with everything. Have you seen that tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Is that official? Did he get that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it says Allen. It looks like it says Allen, A-L-L-I-N.
He's all in.
But it's supposed to say all in.
He's Allen. Call him Allen when you see him next, Chuck. Call him Allen.
I'm going to call him Allen. I'm going to call him David Allen Kaplan.
All right, so the White Sox tweeted out another day, another Luis Robert highlight. And I keep saying to Meller that I think this guy is as can't miss as they come. I know no one likes to say can't miss because guys miss. But, Chuck, we've seen a lot of prospects. Is Robert can't miss?
All right, so I don't want to, like, add to the hype machine of Luis Robert. I mean, it has been an overdrive lately. But I can just tell you from watching him play, I have not seen a White Sox prospect look like this since, well, I was going to say Frank Thomas, but they're not the same kind of player. Obviously, Frank was a first baseman, power hitter, hit for average, walks. So Luis Robert is this five-tool player that does special things every time I've seen him play. And if you just want to talk about a floor for Luis Robert, he is an incredible center fielder. I've watched him now for 6 days. I'll even watch him in batting practice. He takes up so much space. He roams and roams and glides through through the outfield and takes command of the outfield. He is already a phenomenal center fielder, and it doesn't matter if the major league season begins. And like day one, he'll be that great center fielder. He's a joy to watch out there. And then you take into all the other things that he can do. Now, I don't think he's going to hit. I mean, I would not expect him to be a phenomenal hitter right off the bat. That's possible. But here's the thing. If you make a mistake against Luis Robert, he will make you pay. He hits mistakes. So he's going to do that. Where he will run into trouble, potentially, is when he starts expanding his strike zone. And pitchers are going to try to do that time and time again. If he can lay off enough of those pitches, he'll be able to bat 300 and hit for power, do the whole thing. He hit an RBI double here today. And you know, he does even the little things he's doing, and he covers so much ground. Like Nomar Mazara is in right field today in the inter-squad game, which we aired today on NBC Sports Chicago. It's a routine fly ball. It is clearly in Mazzara's real estate. And Luis Robert, who was kind of shading towards left center, went all the way over there just in case Mazzara wasn't going to be able to catch it. So he's just engaged. He takes command out there, and has yet to even play in a major league game. So there's my long answer to hopefully it'll be a long White Sox career for Luis Robert.
I was going to ask you about if you've seen defensive improvement and whether or not you're able to see that at this point in their camp from Eloy.
He did make one great catch at the wall, and I was actually worried because when I got here and they started doing the camp, Roger Bossert had to put an extra pitching mound in foul territory in left to get these guys their work in. And I was concerned, you're putting those mounds out there, and Eloy Jimenez is in left field. It's tough to navigate that area of the field. And I was afraid that was going to be here for the entire season, but they're now removed, so that's good. So I haven't seen enough of him, but that's clearly something that he knew he had to improve on. And he did get better out there in left field at the end of the season for sure, but he's a hitter, and he hit a triple today off the wall in left center. You don't see too many triples for Eloy Jimenez, but he showed the wheels, and that was fun to see.
Chuck Garfine joining us, talking White Sox, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Yesterday we brought up Madrigal, and he was listed on the Ringer's article. I don't know if you read it, the All-MLB TV team. And we were surprised that he was the entry at second base. What's his summer camp been like, and what's his timeline?
So he's been good and as good as advertised, I guess you could say. For instance, what I saw for him today, one thing you're going to notice about him is he's a little like A.J. Pierzynski and Yasmani Grandal in that they don't look at a baseball field. They see a chessboard, and they see everything, and they play that way. And, you know, he did today. He poked a – I think the bases were loaded, and he poked a single through the middle. He was at second base, and Yermín Mercedes was trying to score from third. And he's got a sneaky, strong arm at second base, because when you see second base, you're like, well, how strong can your arm be? But he threw home and nailed Yermín Mercedes out at the plate, the perfect throw to Grandal. So I can't say if he's going to be on the team opening day or not. I think that Leury Garcia will start at second base. And Garcia is someone who's invaluable to this team because he can play multiple positions. And when you're in a 60-game season with, you know, there's so much unknown about COVID, list positive players and how this is going to go. You want a guy who can play in many positions, and Leury Garcia can do that. And he's got the major league experience. It's tough to say if anything's changed because there's no minor league season. Because I think if the season had started, you would have regularly. I think you would have seen Madrigal in AAA and eventually would have come up. In time, I think you're going to see Madrigal this season with the major league roster. I can't tell you if he's right away going to be on the team on opening day.
Chuck, you like what you saw from Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, yeah. He looked to be in mid-season form, if that's even possible. And what's got to be encouraging for White Sox fans is, you know, you have this layoff. And yet, this is not just for the White Sox. This is for every team. You have to ask the question, what kind of shape are the players going to be when they come back? And how engaged are they going to be? And will they be ready in time? And what you're seeing from the White Sox is that these guys saw in spring training, well, they knew before spring training, but they knew they had a chance to do something special. And this, they know where this team is going, not just in 2020, but in the future. And they were, so they saw in spring training, oh, yeah, we got something here. And during the time off, every single player looks to be, has arrived here ready. And they want to take advantage of this situation, and they're not going to slack off. So they look ready. Keuchel and Giolito, who are the top two starters in this rotation, they both look really good so far. And, in fact, I felt bad for Keuchel. He hadn't given up a hit. And because it was an intra-squad game, the White Sox just they opened an inning with men on second and third and nobody out for Keuchel. He just kind of like said, hey, we have to have some game situations here. So let's put a couple guys on, and a run scored because of it. But he looks really good right now, and it's encouraging to see him and Giolito where they're at right now.
Chuck Garfine joins us each and every Wednesday right here on ESPN 1000 as he talks White Sox with Waddle and Silvy. What's the latest, Chuck, with Moncada? Do you hear any whispers about the degree on which he's sick and how long he could be out for?
I haven't heard anything, and I don't want to make any assumptions on anything, because all we know officially is that, he's not playing right now. And, so it's all speculation at this point. I don't think it's anything White Sox fans need to be worried about. And Joe McEwen said that, when he comes back, he's not going to need that much time to get into game shape, but we are getting close. I mean, I think we're 9 days away from the start of the season, so he's going to need some time. To put any kind of timetable on this, and to even for me to speculate what is really going on, you can draw your own conclusions. But I don't know any timetable for when he'll return, but I would expect him to be back with the team. That's all I can say.
I know that you've talked about it a little bit, but what about since last time we talked to you, did the Kopech decision surprise you?
Well, did it surprise me? I mean, we're also going on reports, and we haven't heard from Michael, and I think Michael will be able, whenever he chooses, to fill us in. And there are many layers to Kopech, and I think there are many layers to this. And again, I'm in a speculation game, but I just try to, I'm thinking about it like if it was me. And, you're coming back from Tommy John surgery, and he had the last White Sox game against another opponent was the last spring training game, and Kopech started and he had a perfect inning, comes off the mound with a strikeout, and it was great. And you have in your mind what is my return to baseball going to be like? And the last thing he was probably thinking was, my return to baseball is going to be after a pandemic, and it's going to be a 60 game season, there's going to be no minor leagues season, and I don't know what my role is going to be, and I don't know, do I want to, not just my role, but it's already a big unknown knowing how you're going to come back, and now you get thrown into this situation. So there's just a lot to it, and so I'm not totally surprised with that this is where he's at. But I will say one thing I know is that I know that Michael Kopech will be back on a mound, and he will be something special, because that's what he is. And I just can tell when he's on the mound, he's a great competitor. He's got amazing stuff. And, I think this is just all part of his growth. This is his journey. It's not one that he would ever have predicted. How could you? It's been up and down and up and down. I mean, way up and way down. Not a lot of middle ground with Kopech so far. And I can understand why White Sox fans are impatient and frustrated, but we got to be a little more. White Sox fans have had to be patient with this rebuild, and they're going to have to be patient with Michael Kopech.
Yeah, that's well said, Chuck. Anything else that we need to know? Any other things that we haven't touched on the Sox?
Oh, let's see. What have you not touched on that would be something interesting touched on? Tim Anderson says he feels really, really good at the plate right now. And this is a guy who won the batting title last year. He homered to center off Kelvin Herrera a few days ago, and you don't normally see Tim go deep to center. And he says he added some strength in the offseason, and he feels really locked in right now. So keep that in the back of your mind as the season begins. And we're going to televise another inter-squad game tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. It's tomorrow night at 7. I think it's Friday. Might be an afternoon game at 6 o'clock on Saturday. Inter-squad games on NBC Sports Chicago. You also can stream them on the My Teams app. Jason Benetti and I'm just keeping a seat warm for the one and only Steve Stone. We'll be back into our lives on Sunday.
That's nice. Awesome. And I do know that on my Comcast, I get your channel, channel number 200. So that's a good thing.
Yes, we'll be there on the air.
Thanks, Chuck. You're awesome.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, guys. See you.
Great addition. Chuck Garfine joins all of the shows once a week to talk White Sox baseball with us. And this is the way I am. This is not a Cubs thing because I'm a Cubs fan. When it's 15 and 14, even before that, and these guys are coming up through the system, I said to Cubs fans, get excited. Dream. Think big. Don't let anybody ruin your thoughts. And I say the same thing to Sox fans. Don't worry about jinxing anything. Think big. And things look really, really good right now. If
hit your threes and you'll make some noise.
312-332-3776. Some football we got to get to. Then we'll make up Waddle's World at 4:30. But Cam Newton and the number 86. He's hot about 86 something. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Been an action-packed show. Before I play you this Cam Newton stuff, I want you to say it, Mellie. Can't miss.
No.
Say it. Can't miss.
In regards to what?
What we were just talking about.
Luis Robert is can't miss. Even Chuck wouldn't go there.
He said the floor is he's going to be an outstanding center fielder. That's
so
the floor.
In your mind, would that make him a can't miss if he's out? Like, I don't know. Again, I'll quibble, but what do those
can't
adjectives
miss
mean?
A multi-year all-star. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying, yeah, multiple.
Foundational player. He said the best prospect he's seen in a White Sox uniform since Frank Thomas.
And I would agree with that. He is the best prospect in the White Sox uniform that I've seen. But, like, can't miss to me, that's, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and say he's going to be. Okay. I expect him to be, based on all the hype, that he'll be a multiple time all-star player. But, yeah, baseball of all sports, that's the one where you go, things happen, man.
You're letting Joe Borchard burn you here.
No, Joe Borchard was never a can't miss.
Beckham, God, no. What's his name? Beckham is burning you, right?
Gordon,
yeah.
Gordo,
Gordon Beckham.
Borchard was the days when wasn't he a quarterback?
Yes,
too?
Of course.
Where
yeah,
Kenny was always drafting quarterbacks.
Stanford?
I think Kenny has drafted better quarterbacks than the Bears have.
He can be a dominant player on the gridiron or on the diamond.
Josh Fields, you remember him?
Yes, I'm telling you. I think he's got better success than Ryan Pace.
And remember, I think that's why he gave Adam Dunn the big contract, because he was a quarterback in college.
Did they call him the donkey? Wasn't his
big donkey, right?
Big donkey.
Great nickname. Big
and then didn't Darren Erstad eventually play for the
He did.
The
he, was a punter.
He was
a punter, though, yes.
He was a punter.
Nebraska punter.
For Nebraska, yeah. He was all about the former football players. Speaking of football, Cam Newton. Cam Newton, not only is Cam Newton making a list, Waddle, and using it as motivation, he's telling everybody about it.
Okay.
He is vocal. He is out there. He was on the Odell Beckham channel. It's called
The Bigger Picture. Did you see the clip, Sylvie?
He's like smoking a cigar.
Spectacular.
Yeah. And I
drinking a nice red. There's a canter next to it.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
There would be some hot takes from callers if he was a bear now. Who wouldn't like him from the start?
I was so disappointed when I watched this clip that he's not the Bears quarterback.
I know. Like, there's just a vibe about it. I don't know, and it's meatheadish. I get it. But there's that flair he's got. Some people would hate it. I'm meatheadish about it, and I'm like, that's kind of cool. If Cam was here.
He's Javi Baez.
If he can play.
Yes, of course.
Because all the swag in the world is meaningless if you can't play.
That's why I said it's meatheadish. I know. Yeah. Nothing starts with that. It all starts with that if anybody can play.
Of course.
You know, if you can play, you're colorful. If you can't, you're a jerk. That's the thing. That's the McMahon-Cutler-McNown thing. You know, Cade McNown was a jerk. He couldn't play. Jim McMahon was colorful. Same guy. Here's Cam Newton on the bigger picture, just kind of going through the 86 of these and what it means to him.
And I was like, bro, like they playing with me. And I had to count the days, how long I was unemployed. It was 86 nights. 86 nights, like it's just like that's 3 months.
Yeah, almost 90 days.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm going through it and I'm like, okay, early on, like people going to get signed that I'm looking at and I'm like, you can't say I'm old because people older than me getting signed.
Especially at your position.
Hello. You know. Then I'm like, you can't say it's about injury because people who are more injured than me are getting signed. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, whoa, where we at? Then you can't say the talent. So I'm like, hold on. Okay, now I'll be the first person to tell you, these last 2 years, I haven't been putting the best film on tape.
That's real too, would you?
That's just honest. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, there's other people that's been putting film out there that's getting picked up. And I'm like, whoa.
Okay. Not even picked up. They got the starting job.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm feeling disrespected. Like, I'm feeling like, bro, because every team at one point had to say, okay, fellas, Cam Newton, what do we think? Pass. You feel me? And that's the disrespect that I feel. So it's not like I'm I feel vindicated to some degree, but I'm searching for, I'm going at next all year because it's like, at one point I did feel, and I still do feel like a part of me is left because I gave an organization everything. What I gave, I don't think other people were willing to give. And it was times where I knew I wasn't supposed to be playing. But off of the mere fact of Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, you know what I'm saying? Like DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, you know, Steve Smith. I'm like, bro, I can't give up on them. Like, you know what I'm saying? We play the ultimate team sport.
What do you think, Waddle? Very confident.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I got no problem with him having a chip on his shoulder. He became available during a pandemic, and people couldn't make a decision on whether or not they thought he was going to be healthy. This is a perfect situation for him and a perfect situation for the New England Patriots. I mean, like, he's got a list. Everyone's on it. Whatever motivates you, I'm really interested to see how he plays in Josh McDaniels' system.
Did you hear what Zolak said?
Really good.
Did you hear what Scott Zolak said?
No.
He's predicting Stidham's going to be the quarterback. He's predicting that people he talks to in the organization, he said on his show, captains on the team believe that it's going to be Stidham.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always been a Cam fan. And Meller and I always had this conversation, and I think we come to an agreement now about, like, I heard Dominique Foxworth today say on Get Up, I think it was, and I love Dominique as an analyst, but I think he uttered the phrase, Cam is probably a Hall of Famer. Cam Newton, and I mean, I got a lot of respect for a lot of guys in the league, and he's one of them. Cam Newton has not been a Hall of Famer in my mind. That was an MVP in the league, took a team to the Super Bowl. Yes, I mean, he was a phenomenal talent. I just don't think that – I don't think he's had a Hall of Fame career to this point. He could change my mind.
Of course.
But if you made me vote right – if you've got a ballot for the Hall of Fame right now, are you voting Cam Newton in?
No.
Meller?
No.
Eric?
No, sorry, on the phone.
I don't think most – But I'm really intrigued to see what he can do in New England if he gets the chance. I don't know. He's got to go to New England. And he's going to have to get acclimated with a new system. He's got to get up to speed with some. Jared Stidham may not be half the athlete that he is, but Jared Stidham's been in the offense for what now, a year plus. I mean, that's,
you know what though, if he wins one Super Bowl, does he then just, you think he's in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I mean, one Super Bowl is how, like, as the difference making quarterback? Yes, I mean, like, well, I mean, then
let's just say he takes. What if he takes this Patriots team to the Super Bowl? They win.
You could change, like I said, you could change my mind.
Like, because I don't think he's a Hall of Famer yet, but I do think he's on the verge if he can win one Super Bowl.
Kurt Warner wasn't a Hall of Famer until he got to Arizona.
Right.
He was really good for a short period of time, but once he wrote the resume in Arizona, he wrote himself into Canton. You know, and Eli, I think, gets in because of beating the Patriots twice.
Right. I hope he has success and he plays, and
no,
because
you don't. Because
it'll
I'm going to be insufferable this fall.
It'll be.
I'm going to be insufferable.
Really? I mean, unless Bill Belichick would have also been your coach.
Well,
I mean,
but then that's on the Bears too. I mean, I just thought that the price was so low, and no one, like he said, 86 nights wanted him. You could have got him. You could have gotten creative. You could have had him for a very low risk. Very low.
Yeah. Like Lewis Riddick said yesterday, I understand why the Bears did what they did.
Right, right, right. And then we've also talked about maybe parting with Mitch and saying, okay, here's a Super Bowl MVP and a former regular season MVP. Let's get rid of Mitch and let these two veterans see who's good enough.
We'll see if
that's
Cam's
not
healthy.
Out of the question. So, look, he's bypassed a lot of other quarterbacks, Ryan Pace, and you can't sign Mike Glennon and not sign Cam Newton. And if Cam Newton then is good, you don't get off scot-free then. You know, his track record isn't good with this. So,
I mean, Cam Newton has done some great things in this league, but for his career, he's below 60%, right at 60% completion percentage. He's not even 2-1 in terms of.
You're right, but all the passing numbers, you have to add in the fact that what he does rushing and how he changes defenses.
I haven't gotten to that yet. I was just getting through the passing numbers just now. Under 60%, less than 2-1. It was a quarterback rating, a career of 86, but you're absolutely right. For his career, he's probably averaged an extra 500 yards per season on the ground, if not more. He's had 58 rushing touchdowns in his career. Look, if he's the same dual threat now after all the abuse his body's been through, that would be the biggest surprise of all. Like, I'm not saying he can't tuck and run or do some things with his legs, but if he's running for 640 yards and 10 touchdowns, that would be surprising.
They've never been tuck and runs for him. They've been designed runs, which you know, goes to show how his offense is different, and that's why the passing numbers, I think, you really have to account for what he does on the ground.
All right. If you want to weigh in on this Cam Newton sound, 312-332-3776. We had great call participation early, so we move Waddle's World to 4:30. That is coming up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird.
Let's get weird.
You know, Meller and I were, by the way, Waddle's World is brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Meller and I, as we often do, we're having a conversation at the break. I just want to put the year that Lamar Jackson had into context, okay? And he was the NFL MVP this year. Lamar Jackson this past season, completed 66% of his passes. Now, he only threw for 3,100 yards, but, like, he was running as much as he was throwing, but he completed a high percentage. His touchdown-to-interception ratio was spectacular. 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. His quarterback rating was 113. He ran for 1,206 yards at a 7-yard per carry clip, and he had 7 rushing touchdowns. I give that to you in context. If some believe, like, one of the most impressive seasons I think I've seen was Cam's 2015 season when he was, you know, doing on the ground and through the air. That year, Cam completed just under 60% of his passes for 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 99.4. And in that year, Cam ran the ball for 636 yards at a 4.5 yards per game clip. He had 10 rushing touchdowns. Do you realize that Lamar Jackson ran for twice as many yards last year as Cam did in that brilliant 2015 season? It just shines a light on how incredible a season Lamar Jackson had last year.
Yes, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So, pretty cool.
Quarterback, now, let me ask you this. Like, Matt Ryan is sort of like, I would say he's had a better career than Cam, but he's got that one flash point of the MVP. Didn't he win MVP one year?
Yeah, he did.
Matt Ryan,
yeah,
he did. He won the Super Bowl. Is Matt Ryan, would you say,
a Hall of Famer?
A Hall of Famer.
No. That's what the first thought that comes to my mind. Like, is no. I mean, listen, BC guy. So I always try to have some perspective here. And like I've said to you, I love Matty Ice, and I would have taken him on my team year after year after year after year. But it's a roller coaster, even for the good ones, man. I mean, like last year, Matt Ryan had 26 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, and he fumbled 8 times. You know what I'm saying? The year before,
I do.
35-7. 2 years, the year before that, 20 and 12. The year before that, 38 and 7.
He is up and down. Yeah.
The roller coaster. Yeah. He's got a lot to work with. So, I mean, he's had a fantastic career. Is he a Hall of Famer? Like,
I don't think so.
I don't either. I mean, you get caught in this web of statistics defining a Hall of Fame career. What do your eyes tell you?
What do my eyes tell me about Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
That he's the Hall of Very Good.
Yes, I would say that too. I struggle with Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer because of longevity.
Ugh.
What do you mean?
Because I hate the I hate the longevity argument because and I know it, it's hard to defend against it. But like Frank Gore is going to get into the Hall of Fame, and I understand
you may hate it, but it's true though. Still, Meller.
But should it? I guess my question is, should it be? I mean, just because you pile up numbers, like when you're, as a fan, you're going up against Matt Ryan, I never felt anywhere close to like when you would go up against someone like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
Well,
you know what you felt?
What I felt was, boy, he's a really good quarterback, and the group around him. And oh, by the way, there was a time when Shanny was calling
plays. Yes, I was
going
to go to Shanahan, of course.
You know, so, I mean, there was a time where you talked about Matty Ice, and you're like, really good player. But boy, you know what? When that offense gets clicking, you almost talk about him and the complementary pieces and the coach calling the plays in the same conversation. You know what I mean? Like, listen, let me give you the interception totals for Philip Rivers going back to 2011, okay? 20, 15, 11, 18, 13, 21, 10, 12, 20. I mean, the touchdown numbers are 27, 26, 32, 31, 29, 33, 28, 32, 23. I mean, the numbers, they make you, it's like you watch, you know, the watch is swinging. You get mesmerized, and all of a sudden, you're in a trance. I mean, then you go, well, Hall of Fame. I'm with you, Meller. I struggle
to
with this.
You
one.
Guys, anything that Philip Rivers will,
I think
to
he will get
into.
Oh no,
I
but it's yeah, and you may be right, Sylvie. And but like, if I were a voter, like just because the Chargers felt committed to Rivers to continue to trot him out there year after year when they were consistently like 9-7, 7-9 after they kind of moved on from like the glory years of LT. Like, I don't know, just because you're the longevity doesn't necessarily make me think you belong in the Hall of Fame all the time.
Yeah, I think the Hall of Fame conversation is really an interesting one. And as time goes on and the game becomes more offensive and the focus becomes more on the quarterbacks, it's like, wow, it's hard.
Joe Flacco will not get in the Hall of Fame.
No. No, despite the heater, he went on the heater of all heaters.
Right. Eli will, though.
Eli will?
Yes.
Do you think Eli will, though, if he had any other last name, if he wasn't part of the Manning family?
I don't think it's the Manning thing.
I think it's beating the Patriots twice. See, I think it's the combo. I think it's the being part of the Manning family in conjunction with beating the Patriots twice. Like I think any other quarterback wins those two Super Bowls that way, but has the career that Eli Manning had. I don't know. I don't think they necessarily go in. It's that he's part of that the first football family, as Waddle used to call
it. I'm weird too, because I feel like the Hall of Fame, there's different wings just for me, for my own personal. Like, Eli's not in the same, like, when you get room assignments, he ain't in the same spot where his brother and Joe Montana.
There's a first class cabin, you know?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. You're the guys in the first class cabin.
It's like the hotels.
Coach.
It's like the NBA bubble hotels. Like, you know.
Eli's in a middle seat, but he's on the Hall of Fame plane.
Right,
he's in a middle seat.
Right. In the back of the plane. He's in the back of the plane, too.
Probably in a middle seat. Yeah. I really don't have much time for anything here. I'm here to tell you that Derrick Henry and the Titans have beaten the deadline. It's a four-year, $50 million deal.
What's guaranteed?
$25.5 million guaranteed. That's all that matters. It's a $25.5 million contract.
I don't think that that's terrible then for the Titans.
No, I don't.
Because they would have had to pay him 10 this year.
Right. Think about it. If they franchised him 10 this year, 10 next year, he's still, you know, $5 million ahead, and there's no guarantee next year if he would have gotten hurt this year.
It's good for both sides too, because as a running back, you're much more likely to suffer a serious injury that allows a team to cut you, as opposed to like a quarterback. Right.
This is basically minimum to your deal.
That's basically like what Ryan Pace would give, like a middling tight end.
Here's can you give me the breaking news sounder?
Oh, what? No, is it a breaking news sounder? No,
this is breaking news. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have not reached any long-term deal.
They have not reached an agreement.
They have
ESPN
not reached an agreement.
ESPN is breaking into programming right now, our network.
I was taking your lead. It was an assist from you.
Somewhere Greeny is hyperventilating.
I love Greeny, but
this Dak Prescott stuff has got to end. It's got to end.
I'd like to talk about this further at some point as well. The NFLPA and the NFL, they're starting to fight a little bit here about some issues with regard to the upcoming season. Wow, that was tough to predict, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Graziano had a really good article on ESPN.com today about some of the major issues that may keep.
We can talk. You want to talk about that after we tap Wilbon on, and you want to get to the crazy stuff next?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Yeah, let's do some crazy stuff next.
There you go. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at The Home Loan Expert. Most of us have spent a lot of time around the house over these last several months. Maybe you've been thinking it's time for a change, maybe a new home. The first step is getting pre-approved. Contact my guy, Ryan Kelly, thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Are you guys still doing a show during the commercial break?
Yeah, always, man, always.
Hey, before we get to some nonsense, and we're a little low on the nonsense today. So, you know, nonsense ebbs and flows. I mean, it's just the way it is. Some days we're more well-behaved as a society, as a human race. But I did want to. I saw Elena Deladon was on SportsCenter this afternoon, and she talked about the following. She was shocked by the ruling on her exemption request. Deladon, who's been battling Lyme disease for more than a decade, says she was shocked to learn that the WNBA denied her request to be medically excused from the season. The reigning league MVP on the championship team, by the way, also said she hopes her status as a star player wasn't a factor in the medical panel's decision. Now, I mean, Lyme disease, it makes you immune. It depresses your immune system. It basically kind of destroys it in a lot of ways. Not a doctor. I saw... There's a Twitter picture out there, too, I think, that Ryan Clark retweeted. But I heard her say on the SportsCenter today that I think Elle Duncan and Matt Berry were talking to her. She takes 60 pills a day.
64.
64 pills a day. There's a picture of her holding her hands filled with pills. That's what she takes. Now, listen, that's her choice through her doctors. That's the regimen she's on.
I would think he'd give the star. I know you want her to play.
Of course.
You'd give the star the benefit of the doubt.
No doubt.
Someone who's done so much for the league.
Right.
You know the story, too, with her sister. Like, Yes. Why she wanted to move back to the East Coast to be with her sister. She's just such a great representation of the league that if she can't get the benefit of the doubt in the WNBA, who can?
Where's the benefit of the doubt? Lyme disease is an issue that attacks your immune system.
Who the hell's the panel?
I don't know,
but I mean, who says no?
Are there not doctors on this panel?
And by the way, when her request is denied, she doesn't get paid. She's the reigning MVP on the reigning championship team with Lyme disease, and she's asked for an exemption here to sit out because of COVID, and she was denied. That's the silliest story of all time, isn't it?
It's one of them, yeah. Well, the other story is, and it's something we need to talk about too later, is that, and I want you to get to some fun stuff, but the NFLPA negotiation that you brought up a little while ago, that still the players are fighting for, that they would get paid if they got COVID. So if you risk it and you play this year, and all of a sudden in the middle of the season, you get COVID and you have to sit out, the league still hasn't approved where you don't have to go on the NFL, NFL
exempt list?
FI? Yeah. It's the, the non-football.
Injury, yes. Injury non-football
list.
Injury.
Right. And the NFI list. And that means they don't get paid. How could you put your health in jeopardy in the middle of a pandemic and they take your money away from you?
A feral peacock is dividing an Oakland neighborhood. People are really upset. The peacock is out of control. So if
it's
you're
loud.
In the
I
Oakland
told
area,
you these peacocks.
Yeah.
When I went to Mexico, I thought it was awesome that we had a peacock on campus. But this thing at 4 a.m. would do what it does with the noises.
For the past 15 weeks or so, he has screamed relentlessly every day.
I brought
4,
this up
5,
to
me. 6 in the morning.
You guys didn't believe me when I brought this up a few months ago.
I think we believed
you. Were talking code.
They yell, they scream. The peacock noise is crazy.
What's it sound like? That wouldn't. I could sleep right through that. Really?
Yeah, it's got to be louder.
Seriously?
Than that.
That's what you. That's all you got? Some peacock you are. Wait, you're a peacock. This is a great story. A jeweler buries $1 million worth of treasure around Michigan and is selling tickets for a quest. I love that story. Johnny Perry has been a jeweler his whole life and learned the business from his dad. He decided to wipe the shelves clean at his shop. Okay? And he and his wife, Amy, picked the option of burying $1 million worth of treasure in dozens of spots from Metro Detroit north throughout the Upper Peninsula. How about that buried treasure? I love it. Hey, teens are dressing up as mask-wearing grandmas to try and score alcohol. How about that?
They're trying to get,
they're going into
served?
Liquor stores with masks on.
Resourceful. I like it.
Yeah, but they're dressing up as grandmas. So they're putting on grandma clothing and grandma wigs.
And then throwing the face mask on.
And they're putting
on?
The mask on.
You want to hear this peacock sound?
Yeah.
Let me see if you can do it. Did you hear that?
That's a Mason saying he don't want to go back to baseball practice. I mean, it wasn't a peacock.
Very calming.
Right.
Oh,
that sounds
calming
like
at 4
jungle,
in the morning.
Like, very, sleep music.
I
there.
Like that.
Hey, you guys want to play a game?
Safari.
Yes. You guys want to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Ah. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
All right, welcome to Florida or Ohio, where three sisters have defied the odds by giving birth on the same day in the same hospital.
We had this story yesterday.
Yes, it's Ohio.
Why are you wasting Florida, Ohio stories on non-Florida, Ohio days?
Did you just swear?
No, I didn't.
He almost did.
That was an amazing story.
He almost did. Aww. That's not his fault, though.
Aaron. Ohio!
Nice to dance.
Rockin' Ohio.
These are sisters, and they had the... They gave birth on the same day in the same hospital.
Yes.
I blame Waddle and Sylvie for giving away the game. You easily could have played it off and both guessed Ohio, and I could have guessed Ohio.
No, I didn't want to make it sense.
The listener knows.
Yeah. Eric, I don't blame you either.
Man. You got to find another one for the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Find Monday's story for the 5 o'clock hour.
All right. Michael Wilbon is going to join us coming up in 2 minutes. There's a lot going on today. We'll get it going with Wilbon in 2 short minutes.